Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Good news, everybody. We made it to day two. Welcome to the second episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. For today's show, we have real-life questions from real-life listeners, probably, we think. And attention, bargain shoppers. Let's fill out the rest of that roster together, huh? Come on, it'll be mediocre. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I hope you guys like that funky bass groove as much as I do. I really dig it. And that song is by a band named Vulfpeck. V-U-L-F-P-E-C-K. But you're going to really like their bio. Okay, so Vulfpeck is a half-Jewish post-geographic rhythm section formed in southeast Michigan. Obviously, I didn't write that because I don't know what post-geographic even means. Do you just like ignore state lines? Like, how can you be post-geographic? I don't know. I like it though. I think I'm going to start telling people I'm that because it sounds cool. If you're post anything, it's like, I'm over that, man. Right? I'm going to just, geography? You're still on geography? I'm way over that. And then with the other thing to digest here is half Jewish. How many members are in the band? I'm not 100% sure. But is it like split? Is it like two guys are full Jewish and then the other two guys are not Jewish? Or is it four dudes who are all half Jewish that like happened to meet each other in a rhythm section in southeast Michigan and it was like a total bonding moment? Like, man, you guys are all half Jewish too? Great, let's start this thing. Let's call it Vulfpeck. I don't know, I like them though. I really do. I think the most important question I have for them is, can I use your song? Probably gonna need to get that figured out. Hopefully for our sake, the answer is yes, because I really like that. But before we move on to headlines from elsewhere, which is where we kind of look outside of Clipperland, see what else is going on, I just want to thank you guys. The response from the listeners for the first podcast, if you didn't listen to the first podcast, screw you. This thank you is not for you. Don't take credit for this thank you. But if you listen to the first podcast, the response was great. I mean, people were tweeting and commenting, and man, it made me so happy because you never know when you're starting something new. Like, if people are going to listen to this, you know, do they remember who I am? Do they care about what I have to say about the Clippers? I mean, I haven't written about the team in a while, and all these thoughts come up. And then you guys just made it so much better that first day. So thank you for your response. Please continue to give us those 5-star A+ gold star ratings, and any reviews, and tweet it out and all that good stuff. Thank you guys for those of you who did it. Man, it was awesome to see that. The good news, you guys, I asked for questions. I gave you my email, fosterdj3@gmail.com. I said, send me questions. And we got some questions, baby. We got two listeners who chimed in and had some really thoughtful questions that are going to lead to some good discussions. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But if you have questions or if you want to advertise on the show and give me all your money, fosterdj3@gmail.com. Send it out. Love to hear from you guys. Love to have this again. Be totally interactive. So yeah, do that. And let's move on to headlines from elsewhere. Okay, so when I was growing up, I would always listen to Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. on the radio. You guys might know Hacksaw, you LA listeners. I was just listening, and he has this thing, he still has it, called the best 15 minutes in sports. And he like runs down all these headlines. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I'd really like to do something like that for a podcast, but it's got to be way shorter than 15 minutes. So I'm going to call this like a pretty good 3 minutes of headlines. I don't want to say I'm the best right away. I mean, Hacksaw earned that. He's been doing radio for 30 years, and I'm just laying in my bed right now with a computer right in front of me. It's just a podcast. And do you hear my voice? This isn't Hacksaw. This is like a prepubescent Doc Rivers. Just like, I've been coaching high school basketball and just yelling at kids, and I'm getting sick because the kids, they get me sick, and I yell at them more for getting me sick, and it's just a really bad cycle. And one day my voice will come back, but let's get to the pretty good, somewhat improving 3 minutes. Is that what we said? The first thing I want to talk about, the big thing, Dwayne Wade. We talked about Banana Boat yesterday on the show. Dwayne Wade is a key member of Banana Boat. The Denver Nuggets? The Nuggies? They're putting in an offer on Dwayne Wade. 2 years, north of $50 million. That's the latest news on that. I can't picture Dwayne Wade going to the Nuggets. Does that make any sense to anyone? For anyone? I guess it'd be kind of cool for Denver, because they'd have Dwayne Wade. I don't think it makes them a title contender. I don't even think it maybe in the West, if the teams rebound. I don't even know if it makes them a playoff contender. So I have no idea why Dwayne Wade would do that. I don't think he's going to do that. But it's interesting that Denver is just, hey, we got cap space. Dwayne Wade, we'll just throw an offer out there. Really interesting. If he did go to Denver, maybe there would be like some agreement to trade him down the line. Maybe for Kevin Love. Maybe you have a little reunion. Wade and LeBron find a way. I don't know. If you are going to try and do that, you got to move out of the Eastern Conference, right? Because Miami's not trying to trade Dwayne Wade to Cleveland. Could you imagine? Could you imagine their fans? They would light the stadium on fire. They traded Dwayne Wade, who's like everything to that city, to go play with LeBron in Cleveland? Like, no way. So maybe Dwayne Wade is looking outside and thinking, okay, how can I meet up with LeBron? How can I get paid, and how can I still meet up with LeBron? Denver, I guess, could facilitate that, right? Now, you can't do it right away. You can't just sign a free agent that's not yours and trade him right away. They would have to wait till a certain time period. I think it's sometime in December. Don't quote me on that. But it's interesting. I think players are going to start having to get a little bit more creative when they want to join these super teams that are already maxed out. Or you can just take no money. Zaza Pachulia just took $3 million. David West has given up about at least $10 million. At least $10 million the last 2 years combined. If you don't remember, he played for the Spurs last season. And today he just signed on a veteran's minimum contract for the Golden State Warriors. Which is crazy to me. Because he's passing up so much money chasing for a ring. And good for him, man. If you really want that ring to cement your legacy, to win that championship, to say you're a winner, good for you. If that's the price that you're putting on it, good for you, you Gollum son of a gun. Chase it, man, chase it. I just can't believe it. I can't believe veterans minimum. Think of all, John Lure. We're going to talk about John Lure every podcast. John Lure is making 40 plus million. And Dave West is going to play for the minimum? It's crazy. Not a whole lot else happened around the league today. I guess that's probably not, that's what makes this the pretty good 3 minutes instead of the best in the world 15 minutes. Boris Diaw got traded. He's going to go play for the Jazz now. They put together the French Connection, Boris Diaw and Rudy Gobert, and those guys are going to complement each other perfectly. Utah needed someone, and I think it's going to be Trey Lyles eventually, but they needed a playmaking four, and Diaw can do it, man. I just hope that we get motivated Boris Diaw, the San Antonio version of Boris Diaw, not the Charlotte version of Boris Diaw. I didn't really like that version too much. But Utah, I know we said this last year, and then Kobe dropped 60 on him in the final game of the season. They should be a playoff team. If Gobert stays healthy and everything kind of goes their way, they could be really good. It helps that the Jazz didn't have to give up anything. So it's really a kind of a risk-free proposition for Utah. Really good trade for them. This just in, breaking news, although since this is going to be posted later, probably stale news for you, but just came across my Twitter feed. Dwayne Wade, free agent guard Dwayne Wade, according to Adrian Wojnarowski's sources, will be meeting with the Denver Nuggets officials on Wednesday in New York. Man, something's going on here, guys. This just smells a little fishy. I don't know if that's really the plan to eventually get to Cleveland, but I can't see why Dwayne Wade would just hang out in Denver for 2 years. I don't know. Keep an eye on it. That's the big news. Obviously, Dwayne Wade's the big chip to fall. And although it doesn't immediately affect the Clippers, it certainly could next offseason. It certainly could. I think just how Clippers fans were rooting for Durant to stay one more year in OKC, I think they should be rooting for Dwayne Wade to stay one more year in Miami. We already discussed why the fans would riot if they traded him. So that's what you're rooting for if you're a Clippers fan. I don't want to tell you how to root, but that would seem to be the smart way to go. That's your pretty good 3 minutes in sports. Boom. Let's move on to these questions here. Let's talk some Clippers. Jonathan Ang asked our first question. He says, my question is, with this year, the Clippers cap situation is what it is. We can't really upgrade at any particular position other than retaining our own unrestricted free agents in Rivers and Crawford. It's very true. We didn't draft a small forward and Jeff Green left. We drafted a young, albeit old, point guard rookie in name redacted French point guard. And the two young bigs in Bryce Johnson and Diamond Stone. How imperative do you think Doc feels in that in order to keep this team competitive moving forward, he needs to start prioritizing developing the young guys on the roster and playing them meaningful minutes? Drafting, cultivating, and developing young, cost-controlled players to surround an all-NBA core is how the championship teams continue to sustain success and have a shot at contending every year. What do you think? I think it's a good question. For quite some time now, playing the young guys hasn't really taken priority. We've seen a lot of veterans brought in. As much as I love them, Pablo Prigioni, who I thought was a great addition, was backing up Chris Paul last year, right? CJ Wilcox never really played. I don't know if that's because CJ Wilcox isn't good at basketball, or if it's because Doc Rivers just didn't want to give him extended time, didn't want to give him the court time. It's hard to say. You don't know how these guys are performing in practice. You don't know how their characters are like. You don't know how their work ethics are like. It's very difficult to say, coach, you should play X player instead of Y player, right? That being said, Clippers haven't really cultivated any homegrown talent, which I think is John's main point here, is that these guys are on these rookie deals. The Clippers just don't have them. Now, you hope that that's changing. I really like Bryce Johnson a lot. I think he can be a great third big off your bench. An energy guy with length and size who can rebound, run up the floor, get up and down. I think he can help a lot. Diamond Stone has a lot of potential. Probably a long way to go, but a lot of potential. So I think this year was a good start. The fact that they didn't trade away those picks and actually got more young players, I think is a good sign. And I think it may be a sign that they're realizing, okay, we got to find some of these assets that we can keep around, that we'll be able to control, that can help us as we move on to the future. Good question, Jonathan. Thanks for asking. Next question comes from Lamonte McCord. He says, how could the Clippers possibly be as good as they have been the last few years when it's the same group minus Aldridge and Green? I don't think losing Green is a big deal, but Aldridge gave quality minutes the last half of the season. That he did. In my opinion, the only way to succeed next year is rest as much as possible through the regular season, get around 50 wins, and then pray you are healthy and stay healthy going into the playoffs. You're not wrong, Monty. You're not wrong. On paper, Clippers, as of right now, have downgraded from last year's team. No Aldridge, no Green. Everyone else just came back. Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, Luke, Wesley Johnson, all back, all guys we know, all guys that we can kind of assume what type of production they're going to give the Clippers, with Austin Rivers being the exception to that group. Austin Rivers, you can't predict him. But other than the draft picks, there's no one else that's new right now. So you're just looking at two guys, two solid rotation players. Even though I don't love Jeff Green, if he's a backup forward for you, that's perfectly fine. And Cole Aldrich was really solid in his role, right? And so now the Clippers are in this weird spot where they're going to add some outside pieces, but they don't have really the financial ability to get the type of high-quality players you would need to make this offseason be viewed as a success. Now, unless there's other guys like David West who decide they want to go to Los Angeles and they think that the Clippers actually have the best chance at a title, which would be a little strange, but maybe they've been working out for the last couple of days after the Durant news and they're hyped up and they want to rejoin the team. Maybe Jermaine O'Neal is like, oh, the Warriors don't want me? I'm going to go to the Clippers. Not that the Clippers need Jermaine O'Neal, but just an example. Maybe that happens. Maybe that happens. But probably not. Probably what you're looking at this point, the rotation is pretty close to full. The guys who are going to play are already on the roster. Prigioni may come back. I'd expect him to at this point. It's possible that Doc wants to hand the reins, the backup point guard reins, to Austin. And maybe they look elsewhere. But for the most part, the majority of the guys playing the majority of the minutes are in place right now. So you don't want to put the judgment out so early that this offseason was a failure. I think the stay healthy rest plan is probably the way to go, given how this offseason has unfolded. Maybe it costs you a few wins. Maybe playing the younger guys more minutes and resting Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, maybe it costs you a couple wins. I just don't see a scenario where the Clippers miss the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen on a Chris Paul team. Certainly not when he's still close to his prime. Not in his prime, but not far removed from it. Blake, we could see the best version of Blake ever this year. He's improved every single season. He hasn't plateaued yet. So we could see an even better version of Blake Griffin. This team's not missing the playoffs. So maybe you punt a couple of wins by playing the young guys. Maybe you punt a couple of wins by giving Blake Griffin, Chris Paul rest days. And you enter the playoffs. You enter healthy. Maybe instead of the fourth or fifth seed, you're the sixth seed. But you go for it. You try and stay as healthy as you can. You play your depth and you see what happens. Good question, Monty. Good questions, Jonathan and Monty. So casual with your name, Monty. Hope it's not Monte. Hope you don't have it all. Monte, have it all. You have good questions. You might not have it all, but you have good questions. Thank you guys for chiming in. Again, if you want your questions answered on the show, or if you want to send me hate mail, we'll read that on the air too. FosterDJ3@gmail.com. Here we go. Five guys. Not the burger place, although that does sound delicious right now. You did In-N-Out or Five Guys, people? I think it's not fair to compare them. It's like apple and oranges. Yeah, those are both fruit. And In-N-Out and Five Guys are both burger places. But one's a drive-thru, one's not. One's almost twice as expensive as the other. They're not the same price range. It's different, man. It's different. It's not fair. In-N-Out for life. Five guys. That's what we're talking about. Five players. Five free agents. All unrestricted. All available. All potential targets. Let's start at point guard. I think the most likely thing that'll happen, if the Clippers decide they want a third point guard, is to re-sign Pablo Prigioni. But if they don't, how about Bryce Cotton? That's not a fake name. That is a real person. Bryce Cotton, a monster in the D League. In his career in the D League, two seasons in the D League, he's averaged 22 points a game. He shot 90% from the free throw line on 4.7 attempts. And most importantly, he's a 45.3% three-point shooter on 2.6 makes a game. That's pretty good, man. 45.3% three-point shooter. You're telling me that guy isn't going to get a roster spot? I know he's small. He's 6'1", 165. I know he doesn't have crazy athleticism. That guy can shoot the ball. If you're shooting over 90% from the free throw line and 45% from the three-point line, you should find a spot in the league. All right, so Cotton, Bryce Cotton, he'd be a guy that I would take a long look at. Another guy that you're familiar with, another shooter, Anthony Morrow. Don't need to go into really deep detail with him. He's a great shooter. He always has been. He can't defend a lick. He doesn't really have a natural position because he can't defend a lick. But he can shoot the lights out. Okay, next up. You thought I was going to pick another small forward? James Johnson. His nickname is Bloodsport. He's a UFC fighter. I mean, not UFC, but he's like a mixed martial artist, man. He's got so many neck tattoos. It's so cool. We have a lack of neck tattoos on the Clippers since Matt Barnes left. That's a serious shortage of neck tattoos. And James Johnson will bring that. And he'll defend. And he can play make a little bit, too. If you look at his assist numbers per 36, they're not bad. 3-4 assists a game. He can make plays. He's going to make some stupid plays. He'll have some turnovers. He'll make you scratch your head. But why can't he be this year's Josh Smith on the minimum? Nah, I just compared him to Josh Smith. Nobody wants him now. Oh, way to go. All right, next up, Chris Humphreys. Serviceable. You may know him as a former Kardashian hubby. But very serviceable big man. Has stretched his range out to the three-point line as of late. Still rebounds well. Still a physical player. Not a terrible guy to have around. Just his backup, big insurance. Got some minutes for Atlanta in the playoffs late in that series. I can see him being useful at some point over an 82-game season. Chris Humphreys. Probably can get him for the veterans minimum, I'd imagine. But in this free agency climate, you never know. A guy that you should definitely be able to get for the free agency minimum, Henry Sims. I've been on the Henry Sims train for a while. Haven't fallen off yet. I think he's a good rebounder. Smart big man, good passer. His main thing is rebounding. He's a big body. That's all you're looking for as a backup center. Clippers hopefully will play Bryce Johnson or Diamond Stone or both as backup centers and won't necessarily need a ton of insurance. But if they do just want another big body, Henry Sims can fill that in. Those are my five guys. Bryce Cotton, Anthony Morrow, James Johnson, Chris Humphreys, Henry Sims. I'd like to think you could get Cotton, Humphreys, and Sims, probably for the veteran minimum. Maybe not Humphreys. Definitely Cotton and Sims. Morrow's going to cost you more. James Johnson's probably going to cost you more. But he's crazy enough that teams may stay away. Those are the five guys that I'd be looking at to fill out the last one or two spots left on the roster. We'll see what the Clippers do, though. All right, let's wrap it up. I know we just said we're going to wrap it up. Now we're going to super wrap it. Let's get to winners of the day and loser of the day. Winner of the day, Pau Gasol. Not only does he get to join the Spurs, the best organization in professional sports, he gets to play for Greg Popovich, a coach that won't run him into the ground, won't overplay him, won't play him 35 minutes a game, will rest him, nurture him, take care of him, coddle him, love him. I feel good for him. I feel good for Pau. Pau just seems like the nicest person ever, like legitimately the nicest dude ever. He's like one of the only people that Kobe actually seemed to enjoy. Which probably means he's pretty great, right? He's probably super patient. He's like a doctor in the off season. I don't know, I saw an article once. He's not an actual doctor, but he just seems like a great guy. And I love this tweet. I love how he announced it. Listen how he announced he's going to the Spurs. He said, and this quote, this is from a tweet from Pau Gasol. After many days of a lot of thinking, I've decided to join the Spurs. Looking forward to this new chapter with the best aspirations. I know I'm the only person that thinks that's hilarious. I just love that he just talks like that. Looking forward to this new chapter with the best aspirations. There's just no more positive guy on the planet than Pau. And it's like hilarious to me. He's my favorite Twitter follow. He doesn't try to be funny or do anything crazy, but just the words he has like the world's best vocabulary. It's all, I don't know, follow Pau Gasol. He's the winner today. Loser today. MLB Twitter account at MLB. You're the loser today. Someone decided it was a good idea to post a picture collage welcoming Jose Reyes back. Now, if you're not familiar with why Jose Reyes was gone in the first place, he was charged with domestic abuse. Reyes allegedly grabbed his wife by the throat at a Hawaiian resort and threw her into a sliding glass door. And the MLB decided, you know what? Let's throw together a couple pictures of people welcoming back Jose Reyes with signs. What a feel-good moment for everybody involved. The guy who earned a 51-game suspension from Major League Baseball. Let's welcome him back. This will be nice. This tweet will go over well. People are really happy to see Jose Reyes back. Man, come on, guys. Really? I hope that was just a social media intern who didn't know, who was just somebody told him to do it and he thought it was a good idea. 'Cause that's terrible. For as careful as baseball is about PEDs and steroids and all that stuff, to have someone who's just coming off of a suspension under your brand new domestic violence policy to welcome him back with a tweet. Oof. Woof. Major League Baseball. Woof. That's kind of a bummer to end on. The winner's Pau Gasol. Everybody be Pau Gasol. If we had more Pau Gasols, this wouldn't happen. Pau Gasol should run everyone's Twitter account. Pau Gasol should just turn into Twitter. We'll just call it Gasoler. It's going to be great. I actually kind of like the sound of Gasoler. I could sell that. All right, guys. That's it. It's done. Thanks for listening. Go home. Enjoy your day. Again, we'll be back here tomorrow. It's a daily podcast, Monday through Friday. So we'll be back here. Again, please send me your questions. Tweet, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, DJ Foster. This is episode 2 of the Locked On Clippers podcast.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.